And a very good morning to you. My name is Nick the Moose Batts, and I'm the Commander-in-Chief at tiptv.co.uk. The date, Wednesday, 13th of January. We're here 10 a.m. and 1 p.m. every day, covering markets and sport, live from the heart of London, St. Paul's. Today's guest list in no particular order. For the 10 o'clock show, we've got Mike Ingram, Richard Hunter, Jeremy Stretch, Manoj Labwa, Bill Blaine, Neil McKinnon, and Charting with Zach Mir. The 1 o'clock show today, we've got Nicole Elliott, Guy Schoen, Craig Earlham, Charlie Burton, Dale Peters, and a repeat of Zach's charts. Right, let's kick off with Mr. Mike Ingram, a strategist for BGC Partners, L.P. Morning to you, Mike.
Good morning.
Right, give me a thought of the day.
When everybody becomes bearish, apocalyptically bearish, is this time to buy, at least tactically. And I've been amazed the last couple of days how people have been falling over themselves to outdo themselves on bearish prognostications. And, you know, the RBS thing is, you know, basically run for the hills and buy guns and ammo.
Well, we've actually got a slide on that later.
Don't get me wrong. I've been pretty bearish on markets for a long time. I remain bearish, but, you know, that's the surest sign that you were due for a little bit of a bounce with the, you know, the sort of performance that we'd had year to date.
Understood. Let's go through a number of slides. Let's kick off with the first one, the Tip TV Finance app. Get the latest tips first. Download from the App Store. That's Tip TV in the 21st century. Let's move swiftly on to the broker forecast, the upgrades, downgrades. We've got Unilever, Evraz, and Lloyds. You chose these three. Mike, a few words on each of these, please.
Yeah, an interesting upgrade from JP Caz. I think we discussed late last year also an underweight call from Goldman Sachs on Unilever, which is very noticeable. I think there was concerns because Unilever is very highly exposed to emerging markets. About 57% of sales come from those sort of countries. Currencies is a major issue. It helps that Unilever reports in euros, so that tends to flatter it. But a lot of their products are priced in dollars, so they've tried to price up even as the local currencies are weaker. That's given them actually a bit of a margin uplift. I think the concern is, and why people are going in two directions at the moment, it'd be interesting to see if Goldman's follows this underweight to overweight shift, is whether they think those margins can stick, or whether volumes are going to start to suffer. And also raw material prices, which have been very, very subdued up till now, might start to see a little bit of pressure on that side as well, on the cost side. So
understood. Moving on to Evraz and Jefferies.
Well, it's an integrated steel producer, so as you can imagine, it's not having a great time. It's not everybody's favourite sector. So it mines coal. Iron ore also produces steel. Most of the iron ore and the coal are in Russia and Ukraine. So they've actually been helped a little bit because of currency weakness in both those countries, bring costs down. But obviously, still massive glut in the market. China still pumping out steel like there's no tomorrow. And this looks like a little bit of a capitulation trade. The market was looking for an average of 67p on the price target, and they've just leapt up, 50. Limboed under it.
Understood. Lloyds Bank, Exane BNP, underperformed.
Yeah, from neutral. I think the previous target was 78p, looking at it this morning. So they come down to 74. Market doesn't agree with them yet. I mean, if you look at the average consensus, I mean, the market, two-thirds of the recommendations out there are buy. They think that the fair price for this is 86.6, according to my calculation, which is about 25% upside on current trading level. Exate don't agree with them. You had a slightly disappointing earnings release last time around at the end of October, and clearly Lloyds Bank is probably the purest UK macro play out there. Concerns continuing to weigh on, you know, just how much momentum there is there out there in the UK economy. PPI continues to weigh down on Lloyds, and it's been everybody's, if you like, favourite banking stock. So now, you know, maybe they're taking the foot off the gas pedal a little
Understood.
Bit.
Understood. Let's take a quick look at the charts as of the close of business last night. In first scenario, Unilever, I would suggest that around this sort of 2720 area to 2760, a bit of support. Quite interesting, there's a few gaps on this chart, which I've never liked charts with gaps. It shows a sign of strength or weakness. And really, for the bulls, they need to get back above 2960 to take out what looks like a bit of an island top on that chart. Let's move on to the Evraz chart. Again, a triple test of 60. The textbooks would say, OK, that markets tend to go through on the third attack. So that 60p area, absolutely crucial for me. And finally, Lloyds Bank. Again, looks as if this sort of 69 area needs to hold. Not a great chart in terms of you've got a series of lower highs and lower lows, and you've got inconsistency within the trends. Let's move on to your good self. You came up on, as you do on a daily basis, Mike's Morning Markets. If you could read those out for us, please.
Yes, overnight we saw Asian markets generally better. Actually, we saw China down, strange enough, but as bigger China trade surplus in December has taken some of the immediate pressure off the renminbi, off the Chinese currency. Big bond line. Jeff Gundlach, who heads it up, sees a difficult markets for 2016. Well, we've already seen some of that. He doesn't see a buying opportunity a bit later in the year. There's a whole, if you want, listeners want to look in further, there's a whole list of predictions there. But one of the things I picked out there was sees gold at $1,400 an ounce at some point this year. And then last you got Bank of Japan Governor Kuroda. He was scheduled to give a speech in Paris yesterday. Cancelled at the last minute. He distributed, what he was likely to say, but maybe didn't want to have a Q&A there. I'd say the Japanese yen nominal effective exchange rate there, so that's its value against a basket of currencies,
yep,
is hit a 17-month high. So there's obviously a lot of speculation, right, that BOJ will eventually have to ease again.
Understood. Let's move swiftly on. RBS's sell everything note marked the bottom. Good old analysts, always the kiss of death. That was a cynical broker friend of mine who sent me that headline. I remember when I was in a trading room and RBS tied up with ABN AMRO Bank, and everyone in the room went, whoa, that's the top of the market. This is normally contrarian stuff. I remember Nick Knight from Nomura, yes, used to make those outrageous predictions. Okay, yeah. Does this actually help anybody that they're suggesting that the market could sell off 20%, oil could go to $16? The fact that the report, I believe, actually came out on January the 8th, and was only brought into the public domain, well, yeah, people started sort of saying this document was out there, but it doesn't help anybody, does it?
Yeah, I mean, I've got to admit, I mean, not to single anybody out, but to single, I guess, everybody out, I find most analysts' and strategists' predictions to be absolute junk. They're generally
lagging. Is it because it's just too difficult?
Just
too many factors.
My view, which is to continue to make me deeply unpopular with most people out there, certainly within the asset management investment bank community, is I think that, one, I think that they end up being biased one way or the other. I mean, asset managers are structurally long the market,
yep,
so they're always going to tend to be more bullish, and also effectively investment banks are as well. So there always tends to be this bullish tint, and in fact, the default setting is buy.
Yep.
When you see, and that's one of the reasons why, when you see them all suddenly become bearish, so everybody, you know, for instance, falling over themselves to have an ever lower oil price, you know, maybe a $10 oil price, why not, you know, last few days, you're going, that feels like a bit of a panic, I mean, it's likely to shoot a bounce. They always tend to be lagging indicators. I don't think they tend to see the big picture, because if you look at these very large organisations, everybody's role is so specialised, they don't see the whole picture. And even though all departments are supposed to talk to each other and cross-reference, it doesn't happen as much as you would like or think it might occur. So I think they miss a lot. I think they don't make the big calls. I mean, China being point in case, you know, I mean, I remember very, very clearly that until, 6 or 7 months ago, everybody thought the Chinese currency was overvalued. Well, now everybody's now saying, now it's fashionable to say it's undervalued.
Yep.
So, you know, it does annoy me. I've got to admit, you know, just on a personal note, I always find it a little bit difficult. So I always find myself almost fighting against consensus, because I almost get into the mindset of thinking, well, they're always wrong.
Yeah, it's a contrarian thinking.
Could be keen.
Okay, let's move on to the last slide. What's trending? Oil, OPEC. OPEC may hold an emergency meeting in March. Can't be that emergency meeting if it's 2 months away.
Nigeria pushing for that.
China, sixth month of decline for exports. China exports fell 1.4% on year in dollar-denominated terms. Imports slid 7.6%. And FTSE 100, FTSE roused by retailers' rally. FTSE testing 6,000 again this morning. Right, Mike, thank you for that market roundup.